Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Oh, these are loud.
Yeah, I remember Sam. They're like,
does Robin keep hers that loud too?
Apparently.
No kidding.
I don't know if it's. I mean, I believe Miles and Thrills have been way louder than that before. It wasn't like throw the headphones off loud. It was just like, oh, that's way louder than I keep them.
Yeah, Miles Thrill and Castle does it too.
Yeah,
they just blare it.
I would say if you had started talking, I would have been that throw the headphones off. I happen to be talking like away from mine, and so it's like, oh god.
But, oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, those things go loud.
All right, let's start it up.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Start. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Woo! The podcast, episode 230. What's up, it's your boy, the Ted Smith. We'll be hosting this here podcast. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Oh, to the left of me, my summer meltdown buddy, my burner buddy. He's actually here, not somewhere in Southeast Asia on two wheels. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Singapore poised to end the slide of the Australian dollar as investors there continue to gobble up fixed income vehicles and buy institutional REITs down under. Shares the podcast struggling today after an earnings miss and increased pressure on the boys from a summer schedule dotted by missed emails and canceled shows. Will the boys be able to rally back today, or will the orgies and cold beer cause their downfall? We'll find out at 6:30.
All right, back there on the Wheels of Steel, getting the studio all set up. Matt Conner, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted.
How you doing, man?
Awesome. I turned my headphones up for the intro after we talked about that. Then the song hit, and I was like, turn it back up.
Turn it back up.
Crank it.
Cobb, it's always great to have you sitting in studio with us. Obviously, we took a week off last week because...
We needed it.
Yeah, I had time off. And then we just got back from Summer Meltdown. So first, I would just say a huge thank you. Just, I mean, I could speak for all of us, but I could just say for me, like, a huge thank you to the people that, like, talked to us and said LARPed on, and it was a good time. I met some really cool people, man.
Dude, hell yeah, man. I was hanging with Moose in the beer garden for a while. Like, Zach and I were kicking it a couple nights.
Yeah, like, shout out to Zach in the
he was killing it, dude, with the, yeah. Like, his big fur thing, too.
And I like that, like, he doesn't just give us that stuff. There's, like, reasons why.
Yeah. Dude, shout out to George doing his thing. Like, yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. George was crushing
it. He was thriving out there. But yeah, man, it was fun.
Yeah, I had a guy, I don't remember if his name was, I think
dude,
it was
Christopher Walken was out there too. I was kicking with him.
Yeah, Christopher Walken was there.
I think it was Tim or Luke was his name, because I think I remember being like, that's my brother's name. And it was just, he just complimented something I was wearing. I don't remember what it was at that point. I just wear a lot of fun stuff. And he complimented it, and I was like, yeah, thanks. My girlfriend got it for me because she got me most cool stuff that I have. And then he's just like, oh, I just realized I recognize your voice. And I was like, oh, what, dude? Crazy. He's like, yeah, I've listened to a bunch of episodes. It's great to meet you. And it's just, but, you know, you're just out there talking. And then it's like, you just recognize me by my voice. It's the craziest thing. It's like when we were at dinner that one time.
Yeah, that was dope. Dude, always fun out there. Also, the bands this year killed it, man.
Yeah.
If you have not seen Bass Nectar live, I highly recommend it.
Base Nectar at 9:30 a.m. was a little much.
Way too much.
Like, yeah, the sound check was live.
All right, so let's go through the day's slate. Yeah, so Thursday night, I had a blast. I think everybody could tell us having a blast.
Mm-hmm.
But Pete's Antique,
the man's at home in a beer garden, but especially, dude,
yeah. Dancing in a beer garden.
Yeah, definitely.
And like, it was just fun.
Yeah, like, it was. There was good, like, upbeat attitude. Everyone's excited for the weekend, but it's not full yet.
Yeah, the beer garden was bigger. I ran into a bunch of people I knew. What else? Even just sitting there after Beats Antique, I was sitting there with a couple just at like a picnic table chatting it up, man. It was just a great time.
That was the livest Thursday I've ever seen.
That's what I said.
Yeah, Thursday looked like a Friday.
Yeah.
Sure.
I told people that was the best Thursday I'd been to, and they were like, really? What about 3 years ago? I was like, damn.
The thing is, the Friday and the Saturday were a little bit busier than I would have liked, but I'm not complaining. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Like the Thursday, that was about the busyness level that I like, where you can still kind of find your friends and whatnot. Or like Friday or Saturday, like you lose your friends.
It's a
they're
zoo.
Gone. Yeah, yeah, they're in the pit.
Well, and here's the other thing I should mention to people. Thursday night, it was cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It was cold, and then it started sprinkling rain a little bit later. But it's just funny because Thursday night, man, I mean, it was legit cold. People were like, oh, what are we going to do? Stuff's blowing around. So Thursday morning, easy to sleep in.
It's Friday morning, yeah.
Or Friday morning, right. It's overcast and this and that. And then, as I say, by Saturday, it started cooking.
Getting good sleep early on like that, because it wasn't 1,000 degrees when we woke up, was huge.
Yeah, it extends your longevity. What were you drinking in the beer garden on Thursday night? What was your move, given the temperature, the feel, you know, the vibe?
Oh, I was excited. I think I was just power chugging beers.
Like IPAs or like the light guys?
I did an IPA, and then, man, I like those pineapple ciders.
Pineapple cider? I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. It's like, I forget which one. Is it Two Towns?
You got me on those damn White Claw things now.
Oh, the soda
like seltzer water things? Yeah, those are good.
Yeah. I had a couple other drinks. I think I had a couple vodkas. But no, Thursday night I was definitely drinking beers.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of whatever they had, the Deep Eddy thing. I don't know, vodka sodas, vodka crayon, you know, classic chick drinks.
I think that's what helped some of my like longevity dancing, is it was so cold out.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like I wasn't like dripping sweat.
Yeah. Oh, man, I know.
All right, so Friday night, like, Mig shows up. I don't know. We're having a good time and stuff. But the band that impressed me the most, that kind of caught me off guard, was Big Gigantic.
I don't know how it caught you off guard. I've been hyping it to you for 4 weeks, man.
Jesus. I've never experienced a show like that.
That's how the Grizz show was, man. They do a bunch of collaborations with Grizz. And, like, that's the exact same program, man. It's like, come in, dance, future funk. We're going to have a good time. But it's not going to be, like, too loud or too intense. It's like, just, yeah, let the good times roll, man. Like Grizz's album is.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, though, that bass, I mean, Friday night, even that bass, I was like, damn.
Like, yeah, didn't they like double the speaker count or something? Well, I feel like I heard all these rumors rolling around. I never actually heard like a legitimate
twice
number.
As many subs as last year, I think.
It was a wall.
Yeah.
I know that. When I looked up during Bass Nectar, it was just a straight, like, I don't know, 5 foot tall, like 20 foot long wall of bass.
Let me just describe how heavy the bass was in the lasers. Like, George came over on Friday night and was like, I was out there in the middle and physically had to help somebody who passed out, like, get him out of there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well,
I looked at Steve in the beer garden, and I was like, I don't know if this is good for me. I just, like, feel it pulsing through me.
Dude, you got to get some of those Eddie Monic earplugs that I rock. But so people know, on Saturday morning, they did the sound check for Bass Nectar. And Bass Nectar, if you listen online, you're like, okay, cool. It's kind of these nice sort of flowy beats. It sounds like Bonobo, kind of. But live, it is a whole different program. And so, like, I've seen Bonobo live, and it's kind of the same thing, chill, flow, whatever. Bass Nectar's whole MO is, I want to melt your face with bass. Period, full stop. So on Saturday morning, they got to warm up this guy's bass, and I'm sitting in like a metal trailer talking to my friend, and the whole thing starts vibrating to the point where it feels like it's going to collapse. And everybody throughout the whole camp, one, is awake immediately, and two, throughout the day, everyone's like, dude, did you hear that sound check this morning? Like, yes, like the whole mountain range heard that sound check. It was absurd, man. I've never heard bass that loud.
Steve said, quote, they can't, like, no Bass Nectar, no, don't switch bass before 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody was talking about it. And then on the river that day, I talked to people, and people were like, are you ready for Bass Nectar? And I was like, I don't know. Like, that was so intense this morning. Like I've never been scared to go to a show. I'm a little intimidated to go see Bass Nectar.
Yeah. But it was good, though. They dialed it in. It ended up sounding really good. But
oh,
yeah,
awesome.
That sound check was ruthless.
Yeah.
Ruthless. But yeah, Late Night Tent was not as good as it has been in years past. It was like
a
little different setup.
Forest Stage.
Yeah. Oh, and also Trevor Hall. Shout out to that guy, man. That guy has got some pipes. I don't know if you guys caught his show. I was in the showers, and it was coming sort of like over the top. You could hear it. And his voice is beautiful, man. Great show. Really enjoyed it. I think he's from South Carolina, I want to say.
I'm with you because me and Steve were just walking in, and you were like, hey, take your time, enjoy it, and listen to the music.
Yeah. That's what I said to Taryn, too, because she was getting in the shower, and I was like, it seemed like she brushed us off. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. And then right as we were walking into the studio today, she was like, dude, Trevor Hall in those showers? And I was like, bitch, that's what I said. Yeah, she said she loved it.
What's going to say? Sorry, that's the mayor trying to get into the building.
Oh, that's cool, man. You need to run down?
Nah, I think T's got him. The next night, too, I took a shower on Sunday night. And I did not realize that you could turn around and see the whole festival.
Yeah, man.
Because the first night, I was just facing forward, like listening to it, like, oh, this is nice. And then Sunday night, I was like facing it, and I was like, I mean, I must have stood, I know it's at 5 minutes, I probably stood there for 10.
Oh, yeah. And dude, I was in there dancing, like laughing. You can see your friends over the top of the thing, too. So I was in there, yeah, one of our buddies was in there as well. Like, it's just fun, man. In fact, some of the other shower participants were laughing at us. We were just like dancing, having a good time.
Who's that, you and Jason?
Yeah, man.
I kind of forgot, like, so we talked about on the Megacast, but like there's stalls, but like they're not that tall. So you could see like shoulders.
Kind of like saloon doors.
Right.
But they're not doors.
I didn't really realize that. And like I went in with my bathing suit on and then I like took it off and was wringing it out. And I kind of turned left and was like wringing it out. And me and this dude are just like
eye contact.
And I just like turned back around. Because I was like, there's a wall there. But I was like, he is really close to me.
Yeah. Well, it actually was nice having those a little closer to camp. I forgot about that within the whole orientation. They moved things around this year a little bit. And within the whole orientation, some people were pissed, but it was nice having the showers close to camp.
It was. The showers were close to camp. What else? The beer garden was huge. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I liked that.
Sunday was bluegrass. That was good. I will say this. I forgot to bring it up on the Megacast. And if you listen to the Megacast and this one, feel free to tell Steve Mix this. But he is awful at cornhole.
Really?
Yeah, we played Friday night when we got in the beer garden.
Well, he's a goalie, man.
I just didn't realize the guy doesn't throw stuff.
Well, he's like ambi-sinister. He's got two bad hands.
I don't. He just had an awkward kind of hitch in his giddy up when he was trying to throw the cornhole.
Well, you got to choose more wisely in the future, man.
I do.
Now you know.
Now I know. I don't know. Anything else you guys have to add or
about Summer Meltdown?
Yeah.
You know what? I will say this: the women was a significant upgrade this year. There were some smoke shows out there, and it was like, it was the kind of girls I'm into that's like sort of like almost like kind of hippie, like yoga chicks, but also still like really naturally beautiful, and like smart, funny, whatever. And like, it was stacked, man. There was a lot to see. And of course, Ted and I, you know, year eight, we're still 0-8. I just want to get that on record. We're always so excited going to these festivals, Ted. What happens to us out there?
Now, technically, 1 year after you left, I did hook up on a Sunday.
Okay, and I've I went to some weird festival at the Gorge one time and hooked up with some girl camped next to me, but I don't really count that on my stat sheet.
Yeah, I mean, I've never even kissed another girl at the festival.
Same. We're Ofer.
Burning Man, Ofer.
Yeah, well, Burning Man, I mean, yeah, come on. You got to bring in your own talent for something like that, but
I do have to admit, when driving the RV.
You get lost in the sauce, man.
Right? I love having fun.
Yeah, me too.
That's the problem, right? Like, in that beer garden Thursday night, there was, like, and a lot of the people I talked to, plus, like, you got to keep, like, Cobb, you were right. There's a lot of girls, but there's a lot of girls with boyfriends kind of lurking.
Well, and also, it's just tough to focus. Like, even if a girl's hitting on you, you're like, I want to go see this music, and I want to go, like, say hi to this friend, and I want to go, like, there's a lot to do.
Right,
you know?
And that's what happens. I get all excited. Like, well, we can go do this. We can go do that.
Dude, it's so funny because it's like, man, what's the, like, it's like a cat, like, trying to chase, like, 10 mice at once, but you're just too excited, and then, like, there's so many millions of opportunities. You're like, oh, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this, and at some point, like, the sun just kind of fades, and you're like, oh, I actually have no options.
Yeah. And that's the problem, too. It's like, you might be talking to one person, and then somebody else comes over, and then it's like, well, I got to get back to the original one, but it's a festival. The original one could have walked off.
Yeah, she's gone.
Yeah,
she's left the state by then.
That's the other thing
And you will not see her again.
No, I would love to tell people about festival time. It's weird. Is somebody like did you see Cobb? Like, dude, I did. No, that was 3 hours ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he'll be back. Like,
oh yeah, I just saw him. Actually, there's two bands back. Yeah, I don't know where he is. He could be anywhere.
And I'm still like, some people probably do. Like, I'm not to the point where I want to have my phone with me.
No, dude, please. Yeah, I turn mine off the moment I pull into the parking lot. That's a hard pass for me. Like, what am I? Yeah, no, not for me.
God damn it, I had something else funny I wanted to bring up. Ah, I guess that's it.
Was it about the festival?
Yeah. We're talking about girls. Oh, I know. So we're driving the RV back on Monday, right? It's me and Taryn sitting there. And I go, Taryn, you know, every time I come to this festival, I think, God damn, there's a lot of great breasts out here. Right? And then I go, but I've come to realize, like, nobody's wearing bras.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, that's all it is. I'm like, yep, all right.
Well, also, you know, here's the thing, though. You and I talked about this when we were in Dallas.
Matt, I thought I had, like, do they all have great boobs here? And it's like, no, they're not wearing bras. So you can just see them. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's why everybody's awesome.
I mean, in all fairness, they do have some great ones, though.
There is.
Like, it's not just, you know, like, it's both. But
yeah. Bad ones weren't bad.
That's what I'm saying. Well, and also, like, with a little, oh, man, you know, that's too controversial of a comment. Even back in Dallas, we were talking about the bralettes, you know, the rise of the bralette, which if guys, if you're not familiar with this, it's like a quasi bra shirt blouse thing. How would you describe it?
Yeah, it's supposed to kind of support like a bra a little more than a T-shirt, but it's almost like day lingerie.
Yeah, day lingerie. Not a bad call, dude. It's like, yeah, if you found like some like farmer's daughter in like 1950, like if you were to shoot like a spread for Playboy in like 1910, maybe that's what she would wear as a top.
Yeah.
On a farm.
I mean, literally, I learned about it last year driving to Meltdown. I was like, Taryn, is that a shirt? She was like, it's a bralette. I was like, all right.
They're great.
And then when we were in Dallas, my brother was like, is that girl just wearing a bra? And I was like, no, Chris, it's a bralette.
Focus, Chris.
But as if now I know.
Well, dude, that's the other thing is like, is that, okay, so is the rise of those tied to the rise of women not wanting to wear bras because it makes their boobs sag more because the skin doesn't stay as tight? Or is it just a fashion thing? Discuss.
I think it's probably both. Like, I think number one, it's just a fashion thing. You're at a festival, so people just don't want to wear bras.
Well, in Austin, that's like,
Daily
standard.
Gear.
Yeah, that's standard. That's like the most.
Because like I used to date girls that had big boobs, and they always wore bras. Like some of them would wear bras at night, as they thought that was good, like sports bras. Mm. So they wouldn't. But you're right. Now research says like they should just be free.
Yeah, man. Just let them be free.
Let them be free.
I feel like research almost always shows that things just want to be free.
All right.
Well,
saw a lot of dicks at the river this year.
There was a lot of penis at the river.
Yeah. Saw a couple.
That was record. I think I had seen one in all the years prior, and then it was like 8 that day.
Well, it was just record for the number of people, too. It was triple the number of people at the river.
I mean, that was insane.
Dude.
Yeah. What used to be an oasis is now a full-on. I mean, that place has arrived.
Yeah.
There was a DJ with full like speaker setup and everything.
It was wild. We had to go way down to have enough space for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
packed. Our little festival's grown up, boys.
What?
Did you guys see the tampon string?
No.
At the river?
You know what? I just heard about this yesterday from Steve and Taryn.
Do I want to know?
Apparently, one naked woman had a string hanging out.
Oh,
and she
God
was
damn.
Skipping rocks like this with, like, I was like 5 feet away. And right after someone, I don't know if he wants to be named, but he listens. Pointed it out, and then once you, I could not. There's so much going on in my line of vision, and that's all you can think about. And when you're not thinking about it, you're thinking about how you're trying to not think about it.
Well,
it was so goddamn distracting.
Here's the thing. I mean, I don't know that that's any. I mean, my initial response is disgust, but if you really think about it, like, so it's a naked woman, and she was gonna have that. Anyway, I don't know, man.
No, I don't blame her.
I don't know that I can blame her, but
I'd send more power
off-putting.
To her. I said more power to her for being like that free. You know what I mean?
I didn't even notice that. My big issue is big issue was guy with penis at waterline. Like go a little farther in. You know what I mean? Like
yes.
It's like shirt fucking, man.
Right. And it was just like every time I scanned that way, I ended up looking at his penis.
Yeah, well, we do have a weird thing. Like, that's the thing. Like, of all the things on her body, you saw the string. You know, like, we have a weird way of, like, zeroing in on.
And then I couldn't not look. Luckily, she left shortly thereafter because it was just distracting.
That is distracting.
And it was like, I was talking to someone. She's right there. I'm talking to someone who's on my right. So I'm trying to talk to that person, and it's just, it was so
Yeah, in the background, she's trying to fly a kite.
So uncomfortable and hilarious.
You know, it's funny. 3 years from now, when we do this podcast after Meltdown, we're all going to be like, yes, yeah, so now we go totally naked.
Dude, it's a gradual progression. Like,
you know where I stand?
So I just lost the loincloth, and it all went better.
I stand right at the line of, like, where the water is, so my penis is right there.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, man. It's like, you got to own it, you know? You don't go in there and hide it. You own it. Double down.
Also, I should mention, shout out to the naked dudes, because that water is so cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's the thing. Growers, or showers, not growers.
Yeah, like I'm a grower. I have no shot in that river.
That's the thing. Yeah, I'm a blood dick. I'm not a meat dick, you know? That's the best way I've heard it put. Well, I mean, dude, here's the thing, though. I thought about this when I was growing up. So, okay, like, would you rather, like, let's say all things being equal, that when you're not erect, it looks pretty big and sausage-like, but it doesn't get that much bigger versus when you're not erect and you're a grower and it gets bigger than the shower. Which would you rather have?
Is that what happens?
Well, it depends.
Okay.
But I can't speak for the meat dicks out there, but for the blood dicks, there's a significant growth factor.
So blood dicks is like, okay. Mm-hmm.
I would say the growth factor is probably underestimated by meat dicks, in fact. And so that's the thing is, would you rather be like embarrassed around the guys but be able to bring it home with the ladies or vice versa?
I'm a blood dick and I like it because when it's not erect, it's hilarious. And like sometimes, you know, it's hilarious. Just,
it's like those Greek
statues. You just whip
it
out as a goof. If it's like impressive, it's not very funny to whip it out randomly.
That's true.
You know? And like, then when it does get, well, some have called it impressive. You know, it's a worthy, lovely lady that gets to experience it.
Yeah, that's like a line in a relationship I have to break of like when I'm going to be comfortable walking around naked, flaccid.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, because generally when you start dating somebody, they're not going to see it till the blood's already down there.
Dude, I heard one time in some TV show that word is actually flaccid. Do you guys know if that's true?
I don't know.
Because flaccid is the word I've always heard it said flaccid. Yeah. I think it might be flaccid.
It's a fun word. If you can, like, anytime you can work flaccid into, especially if it's not about a dick, you know, it just really.
Yeah.
Then it's like, hey, man, that's your mind doing that, but I know exactly what I'm doing.
My problem is the biggest showy thing I have on my testicles is what nobody wants to see is balls. Or I guess it's testicles.
Dude, oh my God. Okay. So my roommate from school who played in the NFL, like, that dude has some balls that are like, I don't even know what you would liken them to. They're the size of probably like the two of them together, like a small cantaloupe. Like a big melon, I would say, like a softball.
All right.
And it's just like, but then like he's all about the tuna can dick. So like short, but like tuna can.
All right.
Bringing that heat. Anyway, I don't know where that came from, but.
Yeah.
there's a lot of us out there and they're all in different, you know, different ranges.
Have you ever heard the story about the hot tub in Leavenworth?
No, but I will say this. Water is not a lubricant.
No.
Go ahead.
No, don't have sex in hot tubs.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I'm saying, man.
100 times.
Over like to all the 19-year-olds out there, do not.
Now, if you're classy and you're in a hotel that has a jacuzzi jetted tub, that water is clean. Have fun, kids.
Bring some lubricant. Water is not one. Go ahead.
You are correct. So we're in a hot tub. It's me and this girl. We're naked.
When is this?
This was, I don't know, 7 years ago.
Okay. I want sources. We're gonna call some, what are those called, references.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So it's a nightmare. I reserve this, the like romantic love suites, and it's like private hot tub, like this and that. It's got a sauna in there. So I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
And we're going to find it. And it's like, we're in the neighborhood of Leavenworth. Like, this isn't a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Turns out it's in the basement of somebody's home.
Oh, no.
And there's two of them, right? And like, you ever seen those like saunas you can buy like out of like Sky Mall?
Oh,
they're like,
no.
Yeah, that's in the corner. You can hear people upstairs. You can hear the people next door.
Oh, no.
Right? But we're like, F it. We're getting in that hot tub, the one that's ours, naked. So I'm out there smoking a huge blunt, pretty relaxed, getting the hot tub. It's warm out. So eventually, you know, hot tubs are hot. I sit up on the edge and Molly just starts laughing. And I'm like, what are you laughing at? And she's like, Your balls are down by like your calves. I was like, oh damn, those things are hanging real low, real comfortable.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy that they do that too.
Not
to
calf, but you know what I mean, like the way I was sitting.
Hey, look, man, I'm not here to judge you. Okay, I accept you for who you are, Ted. I love you just the same. But it is crazy that they do that just to, like, basically keep the sperm alive. You know, they're just trying to get rid of body heat to increase surface area.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Oh, hey, the mayor's here.
Oh, whoa, he did make it.
Nice. Yeah, I wonder if he's a grower or a shower.
Oh.
Mayor, grower or shower? That's where we're at right now.
Grower or shower?
What are you?
I'm a moo moo guy.
Moo moo.
I know what you're talking about.
I know what he's talking about.
just take it out.
Just take it out.
Just show us. We'll be the judges.
Mayor, yeah, tearing this story.
Can we get a spotlight?
We were just talking about the amount of penis on the river.
I knew what you were talking about when I heard grower or shower.
Yeah.
There was one person on the river that was a shower.
Yeah. I'm still getting over
Tara, there
my
you
shirt
go.
Off. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's on.
It's a battle of meat dicks and blood dicks out there. You know?
So that's what I was saying. And then we got into the special part of a relationship. Now I can walk around her flaccid. It's like a line you got to cross.
Man, you guys are going deep. Literally.
Wait, so with this resort thing, though, was there two hot tubs or you guys just took control of the single hot tub for the two shirts?
There was two hot tubs.
Okay, and was it like a SkyMall type scenario also, or was it like a full legitimate?
Yes, except it had bad like white bed sheets to kind of make it seem like they were each private.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then the next day, I'm talking about this place I went to, Leavenworth. So then the next day we get up, and I mean, 7 a.m., you can hear grandma like cooking breakfast and asking kids what they want. Oh. So then she goes to take a shower, so I'm like, F this, I'm still going to use this little sauna. And she comes out of the bathroom, and she's like, will you get out of there? It looks like you're sitting in an oven. you look and I was like, yeah, you're right.
When was this?
Oh, man, like 7 or 8 years ago. And then I got us hotel rooms with a jacuzzi jet and tub. The rest of the weekend was awesome.
Nice. Yeah, that's the thing I was going to ask.
It was a story involving low-hanging testicles, Taryn. Shame you missed it.
I'm bummed I missed it, too.
You'll hear it. You'll hear it when you listen back.
So what I look forward to most on my commute home on a Thursday.
Also, shout out to Jesse and Jamie having their baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations. Cool.
Yeah, congratulations. That's awesome.
So exciting.
Holiday.
All right. I don't want to get into the Maryland thing. That's going to be too serious.
Oh, dude. You lured me in. We can do the plane thing instead if you want.
All I'm saying goodbye, but thank you for letting me hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
The mayor's leaving, too.
Are you
goodbye
for the night?
Yeah, I got to go.
All right, man.
All right.
Where's the sweater?
It's on your desk.
All right, thank you.
Our desk. Not his desk.
Thank you, Taryn. Taryn and I share a desk.
And now everybody knows.
Well, it's awesome. Share a desk. And I don't know how to transition.
You guys ever sitting in chairs, like both riding on it?
No, it's just it's always awkward sometimes. It's like, all right, well, I'll go to the studio or something. I always make a point of being like, I'll go to the studio because I have to share a desk. But Taryn.
Some people.
Yeah. All right, so the Maryland thing. I only want to bring this up because and this is a very serious thing. A couple months ago, Maryland had a football player died during an off-season workout. I should take that back. He died as a result of an off-season workout.
Okay.
He passes out at the workout.
Official workout?
Correct.
Okay.
He passes out there. There's reports it takes a long time for an ambulance to get there. The report that came out from ESPN, and he dies 2 weeks later. So then you don't hear much, you know. And then this report comes out from ESPN last week that's like these anonymous coaches that used to play there or used to coach there and players that are like, hey, DJ Durkin and this strength coach at Maryland are basically running like a brutal military thing. And like they're beyond demeaning. Like, one kid that left was like, he basically called me a bitch to my face. And I was like, and he was like, I'm not going to stand. I'm not going to stand for that. So the story is the kid is passing out from heat exhaustion. And they're like, you got to finish the drill. You got to finish the drill. So the head trainer yells, quote, drag his ass across the field. And there was two players like physically dragging him.
What?
Yes.
Not a good look.
So then this ESPN report comes out that this is kind of the system they're running. And like, it's you know, and look, I get it. You're talking Division I college football. You got to be tough on somebody. But this went above and beyond. And a kid died. So not only that, there was an independent investigation from his family where basically it looks like the University of Maryland football program and the University of Maryland is trying to cover it up. It was supposed to be anonymous because players are worried about retribution if they talked. So you know where they put up the sign-up sheet anonymously? At the end of the hall where you had to walk by each coach's office. Like, that is not anonymous, right? That's, again, an intimidation thing that they're doing. So you could read the stories. I mean, it's awful. Then they try to cover it up. And then, like, I saw one thing where they were like, oh, we didn't have an ice tub.
Wait, so what's the official cause of death on that?
Heat exhaustion.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't want to throw him in an ice tub anyway. Shock. You want to cool him down
slowly.
No.
They're supposed to.
What?
Every trainer has come out and said, hey, like, other people that were there were like, at the first sign of that heat exhaustion, when he's passing out and stuff, like, you need to get his core temperature down. Not dehydration.
Yeah, you need to get the core temperature down, but I don't think you throw him into an ice tub.
No, seriously. I just read through the reports today. That's why Maryland, I'm right.
Go ahead.
Right. Like, trust me. I just read this stuff. But and Maryland goes, well, we didn't have one. Bullshit. Your Division I program. You got an ice tub.
You probably got 10 of them.
So they could have done that. What else? They also didn't call for a while. Hang on. You know what? I'll read you the quote right here. Yeah, so it's just, it's awful. Had Maryland officials been prepared to immerse the player with symptoms of external heat stroke in ice cold water, he would be alive. Had Maryland officials taken his temperature after the first collapse, he might be alive. They didn't either, and he's dead.
Wait, so he died 2 weeks later.
Correct.
Was he in a coma?
Correct, the whole time.
Wow.
Right. So now it looks like they're covering up the investigation.
Was he a lineman?
Offensive lineman. Yeah. But it's just awful. So I just wanted to say, like, if you've ever listened to this podcast, I'm probably one of the bigger Maryland football fans you will ever meet. But the University of Maryland has done a horrible thing here. The University of Maryland needs to fire that entire staff. You need to fire that athletic director. And frankly, I think the president of the university needs to be fired too. The president of the university didn't even reach out to the family till like a week ago.
Dude, that's one, yeah, not specific to this situation, but in general, I feel like when people get upset in the short term, they ask for like the heads of the administration to roll. I feel like there was a lot of that with like some of the transgender stuff and sit-ins and whatever. And some of it was justified, but some of it too, like now I feel like in our like shock reactive culture, too many times people were like, this person who was totally unrelated to this thing and didn't even know what was going on should be fired. So here's the thing. If he, like in this specific situation, if he was part of the cover-up or knew anything about it and didn't do what he should have, totally let him go.
Well, it's not just the cover-up. I mean, also when this ESPN report came out, I mean, it's awful. Like the 2 years that Durkin's been there, they've just been, like, I mean, they're just, it's beyond bullying and demeaning what they're doing. So totally. I'm saying the president knew that was going on.
That's the question. Is did he know and let it continue or did he not? Because that's the thing is that the head of a company or a college or whatever is responsible for so many people. And it's like, oh, General Motors, like, you know, like had this weird thing at their rubber factory in Ghana. And it's like, yeah, man, that guy's never even been to Ghana. So who knows? Like, you shouldn't fire the CEO over that. But if he knew, right, and did something to like cover it up or whatever, sure, man, let him roll. I just feel like too often now in the outrage culture, it's immediately like, oh, this little thing happened over here. Boom, go straight to the top and take out an otherwise competent, really good administrator or person, you know? So anyway, I don't know with the Maryland, but just in general, I feel like I see that.
I have a hard time seeing the president of a university where football programs to these schools is very important.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing a president of a university. You've lost 24 scholarship athletes from your football team in 2 years. That's a ridiculous number. At no point did he go and ask any of the players or any of the other coaches. Like, apparently the treatment of these players was pretty well known throughout the program and everything else. So I have a hard time thinking the president had no idea, and then they took it so far that a kid died.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It's tough to say how much he knew. They have, like, he has a lot of stuff underneath his purview, you know, and he's probably more focused on academics and admissions and teachers and hirings and firings and, you know, the endowment and all those other things. But, yeah, man, he very well may have known. But also, you're also walking that line with any football program between like, we want to be tough and we want to be good. And obviously this, which is way over the line. I feel like fraternities with their hazing and stuff kind of do the same thing. It's like, hey, we want to make people feel like they're part of our group by going through some sort of a process, but we don't want people dying or getting raped or whatever. And so for that administrator, like it's tough to know how much he knew about, you know, football and programs and how that stuff should go, but also like how much he knew about this specific thing. Because if you start to hear some rumors after a year, it's like, hey, the football program's pretty tough. We've lost some athletes. Like, okay, like they're pretty tough. You know, I don't know how you look into that. Like you meet with them, it's like, hey, I heard you guys are pretty tough. And like, yeah, we are. Like meet with the coach and they're like, okay. I don't know. It just
hey, you have the fucking meaning. You're the boss. But you're the president.
Yeah, so fire the coach. That's what I'm saying. It's like fire the coach and see how much the guy knew.
I know.
Yeah.
I think honestly, like you have not heard of this. to lie to
No, I have no nothing about it.
If you read this stuff.
That's how we always end up in these, dude.
But I mean, if you read it and saw how awful this is, you know what I mean? Like there's people in my family that are talking about just getting rid of anything Maryland football.
That's what I was going to ask.
Wow. Like
how does the fan base feel about it? How do you personally and other fans that you know, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So what were the other incidents? So that it's not, because it's not an isolated thing, right?
No. Like, some of the other incidents they had were just, like I don't know. One guy, I guess, didn't stick to his meal plan. So kind of like Full Metal Jacket, they had him eat candy bars while the rest of the team was working out. Like, but I don't, like, the players, the way they're quoted is just like, it just sounds demeaning. And not like they're learning everything. One guy said, you know, I get tough love, but at Maryland it was just tough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's tough love, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I get this is college football. You have to be tough on these people. But also, like, there's a certain point where also, like, that's a human body.
Dude, totally. And you're going to hate me for this answer, but as is almost always the case, it's so tough from the outside to know what was really going on. Of course, hindsight is 20/20, and it's easy when they come out and there's a big incident like this. But if there weren't other, you know, significantly, like, outrageous events leading up to it, it's tough to say. Granted, I don't know this thing in particular, but, like, you know, if one incident happens, I don't typically fault someone. I mean, they clear it out and do it now. But
the president already said the university accepts legal and moral responsibility for the mistakes that our training staff made on that fateful workout day.
Yeah, on that day. That's what I'm saying. Like, he didn't have a lot of canaries in the coal mine. It's like it all kind of, you know, the coach has only been there, did you say, 2 years? So all this stuff been going on?
Well, this was the other reason that the ESPN story broke, was basically after the kid dies, then they kind of cool it off a little bit, and then as soon as camp started up, it was back to the same stuff.
Like, what?
Well, it's so that's why finally this report came out, and a coach that coached there said, an ex-coach was like, I would never let that staff have my son. Like, I wouldn't let him go there. Like, so I'm saying, like, other football people are saying, hey, this was way over the top.
Well, yeah, and it was objectively, but that's the question, though, is like, should the dean be fired? This reminds me a lot of the Bellevue High School stuff, and it's like, once everything comes out, but during the Bellevue reign, nobody knew the whole picture except the people at the very core in terms of having those kids from out of district go into that school and the portable or whatever, and, like, you know, how they were pushing kids and what types of supplements they may or may not have been on. And so that's the thing, is sometimes also it's tough to put the whole picture together if you're just one piece of the puzzle. So, like, I don't know about this dean or whatever in particular, but with the Bellevue thing, it's like, yeah, once things, like, start to come out, then, like, of course, you know, the whole story comes out, and now, like, ESPN jumps on, it's like, oh, it's a, you know, it's an iceberg and there's a bunch of ice below the surface. But at first, you know, you just see one or two things and you're like, okay, like, what's, you know, it kind of raises suspicion, but you're not going to roll in there and just start, like, you know, firing people with, like, the Bellevue thing. It's like, yeah, they're a successful program. What's going on? Like, oh, well, maybe they have a couple kids from out of district.
Cop,
maybe this.
You're talking about out of district kids. We're talking about a dead 19-year-old.
Yeah. I'm saying hindsight's
a massive, giant, different line.
Well, and this was a huge scandal, but the Bellevue thing was a huge scandal too. What I'm saying is hindsight's 20/20, man. But you got to think about, like, mentalize for a second, put yourself in the dean's, you know, in the dean's seat 6 months ago, and it's like, okay, we've had a troubled football program. We got this new coach. He's trying to do his thing. They had the juice or whatever last year. They were kind of doing good. I hear that maybe there's some stuff going on. It's tough to tell. Like, you don't just roll in and fire a coach after 2 years based just kind of on speculation and rumor. That's what I'm saying. That's what I was asking about, like, other incidents, for instance. So now, obviously, it's easy to be like, dude, the whole program, sorry, Matt, you're going to have to believe me, was totally f***ed, and none of this should have happened. But at the time, it's tough to make that call in the fog of war.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
I'm not saying that you should have been fired. I'm just saying you're the president of the university. Like, you get to talk to the coach. You're the one person that gets to put that state employee in line. And I don't think it's crazy for the president of a university to go over. And I fathom how big college football is. But aren't we still talking about a university?
Mm-hmm. The welfare of 19-year-old kids is kind of the priority.
You stood in his parents' home and said, give me your son. I'll take care of him. Like, we're going to look after him. That falls on that president, too. The president should have, if he heard, he knew this stuff was going on. You need to have a conversation with DJ Durkin.
So do you say he should be fired now?
I think they should all be gone. The president, the AD, and the whole coaching staff.
Cool.
I mean, seriously, people are talking about they might suspend that program.
Wow.
You're talking what do they call it? Institutional. They've lost institutional control.
Yeah, it was like, what was the program in Texas? It wasn't Baylor.
So, no.
Whoever got the kiss of death, the Mustangs or something like that?
SMU. They were the only ones to ever get the death penalty.
Yeah. That's right. Dude, that'd be crazy. Dude, if Maryland gets the death penalty, can I get you on record right now? You're pulling Boston College.
Oh, negative. If I decided to abandon the territory.
Who's your ACC team?
No, you're misreading this. I'm going to be a free agent. Like, recruiting season is on. Taryn's already pulling for the Cougs. I know I got a bunch of Husky fans.
Going to be doing some tailgating tours.
Yeah, I'm sure the mayor will be pulling for...
Dude, we'll get you up to Chestnut Hill, man.
Get down to
Oregon.
Oregon's
the past, dude. BC's the future, man.
Oh, God damn it. No, so it's a serious thing. So I just wanted to be like on record as a Maryland fan being like, this is BS and those people need to be fired.
Yeah, it does suck.
Yeah, it's brutal. All right. Also saw Pearl Jam last week. They were
that
pretty cool.
That was dope.
Actually, Pearl Jam was awesome, and I got to hang out with Becky Lynch from the WWE, thanks to Steve Miggs, and Jeff Dye.
Yeah.
Jeff Dye, the comedian.
Comedian Jeff Dye?
Yes.
Why do I know so much? I feel like his Facebook advertising is just on point. That's what I feel like I know about him.
And he had a show on NBC with like Terry Bradshaw and a couple other, like, was it George Foreman? And he would take like the old dudes around and they go do crazy stuff.
That sounds fun.
But Jeff Dye, I knew he was from up here. We have a mutual friend. And we're sitting there at Elysian on like the upstairs, and I'm sitting there talking to him, and then I was like, I'm trying to say something to Steve, and finally I just looked back at him. I said, Jeff, you're Jeff Dye, right? And he's like, yeah, man. By the way, he had already been quizzing me about Burning Man, because Steve was like, yeah, Ted went.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I made the connection, and then we were BSing about stuff. He's like, you want one of my tacos? I was like, yes, I do, Jeff Dye. Don't worry, I didn't call him Jeff Dye the whole time. He pulled a power move. There was a lot of power people up there. He paid that whole tab like before anybody could even think about pulling for their money.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Burning Man's definitely going more mainstream. One of my friends hosts like a travel show type thing, and he's like, they're talking about doing an episode there, and I'm just like, oh, like that'll be the day the music dies.
What show?
I don't want to say. It's like they're based out of LA, and
is that the dude's name? Right,
no.
Oh, all right. I thought maybe it was the same guy I knew. But anyhow, Jeff Dye was awesome.
And nice. I love hearing that people are cool in person who you think would be cool.
I mean, honestly, I always thought he was cool. It was amazing in person. He was super cool. Matt met him.
Yeah.
I like when someone is like, wow, I can see why you're so popular. You know? So like when they don't disappoint. Like Jay-Z was like that. Like, yeah. I can see why you're a superstar. Now that I met him, just seeing his show.
Dude, when we walked into the stadium, a couple people would be like, hey, Ted, right? And I'd walk over and say what's up to him. But I'm walking with this group. So finally, after the third person, Jeff looks at me and he goes, Ted, you don't have to hug them all just because they say hi to you. I was like, all right, fair.
Take it from someone more famous than you.
Yeah, basically. Roasted. Like, it was like subtle, but like, yeah. I was like, all right. And you know me. I was like, dude, I'm working at a local level. I'm trying here.
Wow.
Right. I was like, all right, you got me.
I'm a politicker.
Yeah. Also, I thought that was awesome. Like, he was so cool. He's already busted my balls.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, man.
Dude, that is pretty cool, man.
Pearl Jam was great.
Yeah, I had to leave early because I had to come here, but it was dope to get to experience that.
That was the longest show I think I've ever been to because I stayed for the whole thing.
It went until my actual show started.
Yeah, it was wild, man.
Longest Pearl Jam show or longest show ever, period?
I think that's the like one band that's got to be the longest I've ever seen somebody play. Maybe the Foo Fighters at Showbox Soto like the night after Thanksgiving a couple years ago.
Speaking of, did you guys hear the news today on the Showbox Market?
Oh, it's got a stay of execution.
Yeah, 10 months.
So I was at the Pike Place meeting when they were discussing it a week ago, and nobody showed up. There was one woman who showed up for public commentary, and you thought the place would be packed. It was empty. And so now that they're moving to put it in the Pike Place Historical District, those five people, well, they have 10 months, but those five people will now basically be able to decide what happens at that property. And it sounds like I don't know how the ground rights work beneath, but it sounds like the way it's set up, they're not able to drive pylons in and basically build above it to keep it. So it might just stay there as like a one-story building. We'll see. But that's got to be crazy. Think about if you're the developer and you bought that. I mean, I'm pro Showbox Market, first of all. One of the best venues in the country. Best venue in Seattle, no question in my mind. And I'm all about it staying. But thinking about the other side, you think about like you just bought that parcel for, who knows, 50, 60 million. And then they're like, you're in the music venue business now. It's like, wow. And you know it's like some like...
Can you not reverse that sale?
They're out of Vancouver.
I don't know. They may have had a contingency, but it kind of depends on when they bought it, you know?
I am I can't, like, I love the Showbox. It's honestly probably my favorite venue in the country.
Yeah, by far.
But I will say this. I found it interesting how many people I know who are all like, well, the city's changing this and that. But because it was something they cared about, the Showbox, then it mattered more.
Yeah.
Because, like, I feel like sometimes when I talk about, like, affordable housing or bartenders being able to live in Belltown that work in Belltown, like, people don't really care.
Yeah. Only when it affects them, man.
Yeah.
That's really the truth.
So, I mean, I'm beyond pleased. We have a bunch of friends that work down there. Like, I'm pumped that it's going to be around. But I don't know.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Basically, that just set the stage for a big, long drawn out battle. So, who knows? I mean, I think it was I don't know how to say her name. Kashami Sawant. Is that
close?
Sawant, I know, is the last name. Yeah. I can't pronounce her first name, but I believe she was the one stepping up to the plate, is what I heard. Because the woman who's the head of the Seattle Neighborhoods Division was at the Pike Place meeting. She was talking about how that other meeting went. And so, yeah. Anyway, very interesting local politics, boys.
I want to read a couple emails there, Cobb.
Okay.
What is that you'd like me to do?
Read a couple emails?
Yeah, man, I got you. Boys. My wife and I are expecting a baby boy in January. It's a pretty crazy change for us, but we are super excited. I like to refer to baby... I try to read... Matt, you're going to have to believe me. All right. Try to read ahead as I read these when I don't have time to read them at a time. I like to refer to babies as f*** trophies, but my wife hates it when I say it because I think it's pretty funny. So I think you're thinking about what kind of dad I'll be. I was curious, and I thought I'd shoot the question out to you guys. If and when you have kids, what kind of dad do you think you'll be, and what kind of dad do you want to be like? Love the podcast. Been listening since day one and love just how genuine you guys are and love all the positivity you spread. Also, it cracks me up when you guys talk about going up north to Stanwood and Warm Beach area. I grew up there and went to school with Taryn. It's a wonderful place. LARP on, amigos. Lucas. Papa Ted, tell us, man. Talk to us.
I don't know, man. That's kind of a tough question.
Yeah, I was in the same thought. Oh, man. That's a lot to consider. But I do, you know, I could see myself enjoying raising a kid. It's a ton of responsibility that I have absolutely no interest in right now. But I, you know, I think it would be fun to get to do some of that stuff. Like, there's parts of it that seem very appealing, and then there's other parts where I'm like, no, I was right all those years. I want nothing to do with this. So, but I think, if I had one, I would make sure to, you know, just teach them to be good to people and, you know, get them to believe in themselves and try new things and, you know, be adventurous and, you know, make the most out of your chance at life on this planet and, you know, have a lot of gratitude for everything that you have. My parents kind of instilled a lot of that in me through religion, and then I kind of, like, backlashed against religion for a little while there because I saw some, you know, if you take it all literally, it's pretty easy to poke holes and just, okay. But, you know, a lot of that, like, saying prayers before dinner, which I see religious people do very habitually and perhaps not as focused as I like to take a few minutes and check my gratitude before I eat. You know what I mean? Which is essentially what they're doing. So I just think there's a lot of ways to go about showing kids what I would consider to be, like, universal truths about, like, being good to people, being a helpful friend and someone that cares that people can listen to or people can talk to and you can listen well. And, you know, being grateful for all the stuff that you have in life and, you know, just setting them up to go enjoy stuff. And, you know, then there's also a financial level that I would like to accomplish before I dive into that I'm nowhere near, as long as I'm at this station probably. But, you know, hey, I don't have any plans to have a kid, so it's cool to be doing this. But, yeah, the financial side of things is, like, what really stops, the logistical side of, like, what stops me in my tracks. Like, I'm nowhere near that. So, yeah, but I think there's a lot of stuff to have fun with, and I really liked Jordan Peterson's chapter on parenting in, I think it was like, never let your kid do something that makes you resent them or something, and 12 Rules for Life. I just
like,
when I read that, I was like, oh, I would read this like 12 times a month during that 9 months. Like, whatever 9 times 12 is, that's how many times I feel like would be a good amount of times to read it. It just had a lot of awesome wisdom that I thought sounded very practical.
I was going to say, like, fruits.
Ted Smith Jr.?
Fruits and sports.
Fruits and sports.
Fruits and sports.
Fruits and sports.
Elaborate.
I mean, I like sports. I think sports are good. I think it's good to stay active and stuff. And then I would just encourage more fruits and stuff than maybe I ate as a child.
Okay. Where I'm at is I'm squarely on the fence of whether I would have kids or not. If the woman I end up with is pro kids, cool. I could do one or two. If not, I'm totally fine not doing it. As far as the foods, I actually disagree with you.
Why?
So I'm very pro. You know, I eat a lot of vegetables, a lot of fruits. All the fruits have a lot of sugar, but your taste buds change so much. And I remember a lot of the foods I love now really hating them as a kid. And I just didn't like them. And my parents didn't force them on me. And because of that, I love them now, where I see some of my friends who had these foods forced on them. And that's the thing, like offering it is one thing, forcing it is totally another, but had it forced on them. And now they only eat, like, one of my friends from school just eats garbage. He eats like white bread and like, I don't even know. He's like the piggiest eater ever. Just really bad stuff. So I'm not going to be too strict with the foods, but I'll try to put a lot of good stuff around him. But I think I would be an okay dad. But like Matt said, the financial thing is huge. And there's just a lot that goes into it, a huge amount of time. And I may be too selfish to do it. We'll see.
Yeah. That's how I feel. Yeah. I have a lot of ideas in my life that I want to do that, like, that would definitely get in the way of, which is, you know, something that I need to consider, that if I'm going to have a kid, I need to really come to the conclusion that I'm okay giving up all those aspirations and taking the hits that come with having a kid from my dreams. Because if I'm not okay with that, I feel like I'm probably going to resent that kid. And that's
a lot of sacrifice.
That's not a good recipe for either of us. Anyone, you know, like, just kind of, yeah, being aware of stuff like that, I think, is something that I think about a lot when it comes to that. Because, you know, I'm in a committed relationship. So it's like,
I don't even have a girlfriend. Like, it's hard to answer a question about children.
Oh, my answer if I didn't have a girlfriend to that would be totally different.
Yeah, it's like weddings.
But
like, if you ever get married, you're going to have a huge wedding? No. Well, if she wants one, yes.
Right. Yeah, dude, exactly. Right? Like, take the words out of my mouth.
Right, let's be realistic.
Ted, sometimes I just remember why we're friends. Ted, I know you're a big college football fan. I am too. By chance, are you going to the Washington-Auburn game on 9-1, or do you know any dogs who are going? I'm going and potentially lone wolfing it and looking for some people to hang with. Though we haven't met, I think our similar love for college football and light beer would make us natural friends. Thanks. I love listening to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Mike Beattie, a.k.a. Blue Golf, Blue 8 Golf, a.k.a. Belly, a.k.a. Belly of the Beast. Ted?
Dude, I am not going to that game. I don't know anybody. Do I know any Huskies who are going? I'd have to check around. But, dude, that'll be an awesome time.
Yeah,
and
good game.
It's who's it, Washington and Auburn?
Yeah.
Right, like, Auburn's not like a natural rival for you guys. So, like, when you go down there, people will be pretty friendly to you. It's not like you're going into Auburn wearing, like, an LSU shirt or right. Somebody else from their conference. So that's the one thing I've noticed. When you travel those big distances, people are usually pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, by the way, if you go lone wolf, go. It's the South.
Yeah.
Beautiful girls everywhere.
Hola, Ted.
I thought you were going to say everyone's friendly.
Wait, is the game at UW or a game at Auburn?
Oh, I assume it's at Auburn if he's saying he's going. Oh, crap.
I kind of assumed it was here.
Oh, maybe
it is. Didn't he invite you? Didn't it,
he just asked if Ted was going.
Ted, yeah, I don't think he would ask you.
Take a look on the schedule. I read the next email.
If it was down in Alabama.
Hola, Ted, Matt, and Cobb. Sounds like you had a good time at Summer Meltdown. I have two questions. Why do you release the episode on Thursdays when you record on Tuesdays? Matt?
Those are my decisions.
Okay. No. Because one of the main things when you start a podcast, you got to be consistent. So we decided we were going to put it out on Thursday. So then Tuesday just kind of is the easiest day that we can all get together.
That's true.
But having it release on Thursday means that would give us wiggle room to do it on Wednesday or Monday.
Yeah, we've done a Sunday one, I think. Or, yeah, we've done some weird ones. Yeah.
The Pot-tocalypse was in, was on
weekend.
We got to bring that back, boys. That was fun. Are any of you three?
No, that game's in Atlanta, dude.
Damn. It's Atlanta.
Yeah.
Huh. Are any of you three going to the Foo Fighters on September 1st at Safeco?
Everyone's asking what we're doing September 1st.
Yeah, I'm just going to put this out there. I'm going on a retreat Labor Day weekend, so I won't be at none of that stuff. Like, imagine how loud Pain in the Grass is going to be on the 25th of August. Just know your boy is going monk style on the 26th.
Thanks, guys, for being the best podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Thanks. Stevie, the Packers fan. We got time for one more.
Sorry, Stevie.
We can move on.
Yeah, let's
you got to get to your mom's thing.
I was gonna say I want to go see the mom before she leaves. We'll check in with what's battening.
Hey, what's good? What's mad?
Whoa. Before we get to what's battening.
Hey, what's good? What's mad?
Whoa. Check out with what's battening.
Hey, what's good? What's mad?
Whoa. Before we get to what's battening.
Hey, what's good? What's mad?
Whoa. Check out with what's battening.
Well, it's been a while. We pretty much covered Meltdown. I didn't talk about how awesome Five Alarm Funk was.
Oh, yeah.
They delivered, and I was front row. And this time, in Boise the week before, I was practically falling onto the stage every time I'd start jumping up and down. Actually, during their last little song, I was jumping up and down, and the power went out, like, shortly after I had to catch myself on the stage, and I thought I messed with one of the little switches or something when I tried to catch myself and didn't realize it. It wasn't. It was fine. We got through it. But at Meltdown, I was front row, and there's a nice barricade to just like support yourself on, so I got to like jump a lot more and like not have to worry about falling over like the week before. So that was an awesome upgrade. Everything else, it was just, you know, there's too much to sit here and try and summarize, but we did a bang up job before that, earlier in the podcast. And then Tuesday after Meltdown last week, I went on King 5 and did a fitness segment on New Day Northwest, which was just awesome. I went with Josh, who was also at Meltdown. And, you know, we just kind of had that post-festival glow about us, I'd say. I feel like I kind of knocked it out of the park, which I don't say about things I do very often. But it went really well, and I was just in a good headspace, had a great weekend, and was there with one of my best friends, just kind of showing people. I didn't really have anything to sell. I don't have any room in my schedule or anything. So I was just like, just go help people, man. Just go talk about what you know. And it was a rush. It was awesome. And nice. So, yeah, that was a ton of fun. Shout out to Margaret. She was great.
Margaret's
and Sue,
awesome.
Sue, their producer, for inviting me. And everybody
Molly
there.
Stu?
Huh?
Molly Sue?
Molly Sue, yeah. She's great. And so, that was just an awesome time. And then hung out afterwards with Josh for a little bit. And then, let's see, Wednesday night, because Josh and I looked at the Pearl Jam tent, which was up Tuesday morning, and the line was, like, all the way through the entire zigzaggy, roped-off area out onto the sidewalk. And I was like, never mind.
Pearl Jam had the longest lines I've ever been in.
All the lines were insane.
It was unreal.
Everywhere. Bathroom, to get merch, in, right, beer. To get in was insane. Oh. And what was crazy was when we walked up, that whole line was only on the one side. Like, there was two sides of the entrances, two openings and barricades to go in, and the line, which went the entire length of Safeco Field down First Avenue, was just going into the left one. And then, as we were walking towards the back of it, we're like, oh my God, what is going on? Then we see Ted and Steve and Luca from Vigor and Jay, Ferrugia and Becky and Jeff, and it was like, oh my God, what's up, guys? So we started walking with them. And we walk up, and there's another open barricade that was just no one was going into, while a line of thousands of people are shuffling into the left side of it. It was like, holy shit, get out of your sheep mentality, pay attention to your surroundings, people. But, you know, we got in pretty quick. And then everywhere else, just insane lines. But because I had to leave early to come to the station, we hit that merch tent on the outside, which had no line, and so I did get a shirt, as did Tyler, so that was cool.
Nice.
That was the day before her birthday, so I was like, yeah, well, you know, it was a cool little, like, bonus surprise, because obviously, like, we felt like Meltdown was a celebration, and that was, and then Thursday night, went out to dinner with her family for her birthday, and then Friday morning, flew to San Diego for my brother's bachelor party, and we were there all weekend, and it was awesome, right, in Mission Beach, and, dude, that's just a great, great part of the country. San Diego is just a ton of fun, and it was great. My other brother and I kind of hung out most of the time while my brother, who's getting married, was with all his friends and stuff. And so we broke off from the rest of the group because no one was going to a strip club, and we were like, dude, we're here for a bachelor party. Like, let's go check it out. So that was fun. But the house,
Cheetahs?
Cheetahs? No, Pacers. Which I just thought that was a weird name for one. Pacers. Yeah. But it was fun. they serve alcohol in that one, so it's not fully nude, and no strippers want anything to do with the two guys who clearly aren't drunk. Because there's a gazillion drunk marks in there that they could make more money off of. So I got, like, no attention at all. I mean, it was crazy. But when you look around and you see how wasted everyone else is, and you know, clearly I do not look like that. They're just, yeah, it made sense. But
Cheetahs, man.
Cheetahs. Okay. All right.
Just throw in the, you know, just keep it in the bank, and at some point.
Cheetahs, all right. I don't go to San Diego a bunch, but that's an easy name to remember for a strip club. Cheetahs. Thanks.
And if you're in Miami, 11.
11? Okay.
Is and if you're in Columbus, Ohio, no, sorry.
There's 11s in there? Beyond dime pieces?
There's some, I mean, there's some attractive women in that city in general, but yeah, yeah, they bring it.
So that was a great weekend. The house we were staying in, three...
Casa Diablo.
Yeah, we could do the whole... Honestly, I've been to one in Columbus, I've been to one in Cincinnati, Nashville, we opened one, we were there at 11 a.m. Like, yeah, I mean, we could go all day. Recommendations, pros, cons. Yeah, Casa Diablo for sure. Like, I'm an Acropolis fan, okay, yeah. But Casa Diablo, like, brings the heat. Yeah. And, like, don't come talking to me about, like, some of the other ones downtown. So, like, they're fine, but, yeah. Casa Diablo, the one thing I will take away from it is it's a long ways out of town.
That's
a little bit
of
a drive, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Portland, yeah.
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 Never been to that one, but anyways, it was cool. The problem was the house we were in, the AC was broken, and so you have 16 dudes in one house that's like three stories, maybe three bedrooms, these little, like, they were advertised as European lounges, but they're basically different looking, essentially futons that fold out that are like two-person love seats that fold into futons, and there's a bunch of those, and all these dudes just sleeping in this house that's a big house, but it's basically they just rent it out for bachelor parties.
Yeah.
And all these things are just for it. The neighbors hated us because we're just another round of dickheads that are going to be gone after this weekend and don't care. And, you know, people are being loud and obnoxious. But it was so goddamn hot, no one could sleep. So people just stayed up all night and drank. And, of course, the neighbors didn't care for that, but it was like... none of us could sleep. It was just, you just lay there in hotness.
Yeah.
And maybe you fall asleep for like 5 minutes at best. And then you wake up just like, oh my God, I'm so hot. And so, yeah, it made for, that was like just ridiculous that the AC was broken in August in San Diego. But other than that, everything was a ton of fun. I went to the Padres game Friday night. That ballpark is dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had
Petco.
Yeah, so they have a section in the back that's, like, in the outfield, and it has, like, a bar. It's, like, $80 for the ticket. You can get unlimited drinks through the 7th or something like that. But it had these two elevated – it had this elevated platform with these two seats with, like, outdoor patio furniture cushioning on it. And they're, like, elevated seats with the leg rest that you can keep your beers on right on the fence.
Nice.
Like, right on top of center field. And apparently it's, like, customary to kind of – not sit there for the entire game. Tim and I just held that one down the entire time.
Oh, you never gave them up?
We did towards the end, but we didn't even notice because we were like, oh, everyone's going to cycle through. And, you know, there was a bunch of us that sat up there at different times. But, yeah, some guy kind of, like, said some passive-aggressive thing towards the end when he came up to check it out. We're like, yeah, sit down. And then he's just like, there's been people here the whole time. And it's like, yeah, they were all us the whole time. Yeah. But it was fun, so...
Right.
Yeah, that was that. I don't know. A lot's happened in 2 weeks, but between Meltdown, New Day, Pearl Jam, my girlfriend's birthday, and the bachelor party, I think I covered it all.
All right, it's about that time.
Boo, 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 boo. Cobb topic.
Tangentially related, one of my life goals is to get into that Jaguars stadium pool during a game.
Yeah, out there. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
By the way, also San
open Diego. Invite.
Yeah,
but wait. By the way, what?
San Diego. I just saw this festival today called Kaboom.
Kaboom.
KAABOO. Kaboo.
Okay.
Listen to this lineup on Friday night. Foo
don't
Fighters.
Do it to me.
Halsey, Post Malone, Incubus, Gucci Mane, Blondie, Everclear. Then Saturday is like Imagine Dragons, Earth, Wind & Fire, Billy Idol, Big Boy. STP, NERD, and then what's Sunday? Katy Perry, Robert Plant, Wiz Khalifa, /Alice in Chains. I was like, this thing is crazy. So you brought up San Diego. September 14th, 15th and 16th. You can
one
get
month
down there.
From today.
Yeah, 1 month. I'd
that's
go.
A lot of different energies too. Like that's not like a. It's not easy to say what type of festival that is. But any festival in San Diego is probably going to be pretty good. Yeah. They have some of the most gorgeous women in the country down there. And don't they know it? So, cop topic this week. A while ago, Anthony Bourdain died. And I remember I was like, man, people love this guy so much. I don't really know that much about him. So one of my roommates ended up buying his book, Kitchen Confessions.
Kitchen Confidential.
Yeah. Great. I picked it up and read for like one chapter. And I was like, wow, this is a great book. So I read the whole thing. Really enjoyed it. Great writer. I can totally see. I mean, that's another one of those examples. Like, I can see why that book took off. Great book. And just well written, I guess. I mean, and that guy's got some stories to tell. So anyway, so then I was like, well, I kind of like fell down the wormhole. I was like, why do people like this guy so much? And I started watching some of his like little shows and YouTube videos and stuff. And I watched this YouTube video of him making scrambled eggs. And he was just talking about, you know, a few things that he does for like a really simple dish. Like, here's how I make scrambled eggs, you know, and just like a couple little things that like, it's a dish that you can't change that much, you know, like it's eggs that are scrambled in a pan. But, it was like maybe like a 10-minute YouTube video, and I made them that way, and they were like some of the best eggs I've ever had. And so anyway, that's how I make scrambled eggs now. And the cop topic this week is, what is something most people could learn in 30 minutes that will be helpful for the rest of their lives? Feel free to email us, email@thepodcast.com, or hit Matt up really on the Twitter machine @thepodcast.
My first instinct would be just how to make something in a crock pot. It'd probably take you 30 minutes to maybe sear some of the meat and load up the crock pot, but you're going to eat for days, and it's simple.
And you can learn how to use a crock pot about that, because I don't know how to use a crock pot. I know you're a big crock guy. So
I mean, honestly, like it's kind of a joke we see on the men's room, but like you could put almost anything in there, and if you cook it for the right amount of time, it's going to be awesome.
How do you know how long to cook it?
Cookbooks and whatnot. But I mean, the simplest thing I tell everybody is just get skinless, boneless chicken breast, or you can throw in some thighs. You like dark meat?
I'm a thigh guy.
Yeah, man. A lot of flavor. So throw those in there and then a jar of salsa or a can of salsa or whatever and just put it on low for 8 hours. And when you get home, you have shredded chicken or you just pull it apart. Right. So I'm just saying like that's one big trick. Like my mom got me one and then I started using it. And man, I love that thing.
Are you familiar with you're not a big rice guy, but the Zojirushi, the little Japanese rice maker, same thing. It's awesome. Right. You set it, you forget it. Your rice can stay in there for like 5 days, just still piping hot, ready to go. It soaks it. It makes sure it has the right moisture content. So it's awesome.
Yeah.
And you can do quinoa or whatever else in there too. But yeah, I feel like I'm about to up my cooking game in the next year or two.
Crockpot's an easy one, man.
Crockpots are great.
I should. I always think, sometimes I think of myself as like a character in a video game. Like you're upping your XP or your like agility or whatever. And like, I definitely need to add that skill set.
Yeah. Remember that's where Matt was cooking all his chickens.
Yep.
I need the crockpot badge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super simple. It's obnoxious. Like, and I just Google whatever it is. How long in the crock pot? And when you just, at this point, my phone, as soon as I type something in, it'll be like, so-and-so slow cooker recipe.
Yeah.
Because it just knows that that's probably what I'm looking for.
Is a slow cooker and a crock pot the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, they usually have like three settings. And then
usually it's just like high, low, or warm. You can get fancier ones if you want to, but that's all I ever use, just the standard one.
And
Crockpot was just like the first name, kind of like Q-tips for a slow cooker.
Which, although Kleenex. I will say, not all Q-tips are created equal. I'm a Q-tip man, period.
Yeah,
full
not
stop.
All cotton swabs are created
that's
equal.
That's what I'm saying. Don't come at me with that Albertsons brand.
Yeah. Taking a risk with the generic. Some of them are fine, but you take a risk.
Dude, I mean, yeah, some of them, one, don't have the volume. Two, some of them don't even have the adhesion properly.
They don't have the tuft,
you know.
The
like
rigidity.
Thank you. Dude, yeah. Like, there's a lot of issues out there. Yeah. The ones with the plastic in the middle.
Flaccid Q-tips, thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly.
Matt, what's yours going to be?
I was thinking of just exercises that you could, I could teach people, you know, like the push-up and the squat and the lunge. And the pull-up in 30 minutes. If somebody was going to actually do the exercises consistently, spending 30 minutes to learn how to do some staples well would be time very well invested. But it comes with continuing to invest time in your physical health.
Yeah, it continues to pay dividends.
Right. Like, I've had people that come in for an assessment, and they're like, oh, I thought this was just a free session, and I'm like, I don't have room in my schedule for this person. Like, I'm not going to try and sit here and force them into a sales pitch. I'm just going to take the next 40 minutes and give them as much information as I can that in a way that they'll be able to implement it. Not overloading it, but like give them the best stuff that if they implement it, they'll see huge changes. And it doesn't, it's, you know, you learn the principles and then you go execute them and practice them on your own and you can really improve your life.
Copy that.
I'll co-sign. all right. Well, there you go. There's episode 230. Painting the Grass is coming up.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah. What's that? Saturday, August 25th. We'll be out there. This weekend, I'm going to go to our old buddy Drew Brokenshire's wedding.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Him and Sarah finally getting it done.
Get it.
That should be pretty good. I don't know. Other than that, man, we didn't get to it. The smoke sucks. If you live in Seattle, you know what we're talking about. Like, hopefully we get a change in wind, get that stuff out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. There you go. For MCTP, for Cop, I'll be dead soon. This is the podcast. Cheers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.